The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right. How many had a good week? Amen. Hallelujah. How many made the best of the week they had? And hallelujah. It's not always good, is it? But if we have the right mindset and the right attitude, we can make the best of it. And we can see and we can expect God to be in control. Because our God is in control. Even though this world is in turmoil that we live in, our God is still in control. He has a plan. And He has actually shown us in the Word of God parts of that plan. And actually, there's a lot more in there than just meets the eye when you just casually read over it. But as you study the Word of God, you begin to realize that God is still going to be working even when the enemy seems to be in control. God has an overall plan. And He wants us to understand as much of that plan as possible. However, it is necessary to truly study and get into the Word of God and delve into it as much as possible to try to understand Bible prophecy and to think the events that are coming in the future. We don't always understand. Sometimes we speculate on what might happen. There's been lots of speculation throughout the ages about end time events. Some of the things have been right, some of them have not. And we're still speculating sometimes as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to look at the Scripture and try to discern it to the best of our ability. And sometimes we discern it based on the current events. And that's my message today. It has been for the last couple weeks, is current events, or prophecy in current events. Because what we need to realize is that there are some current events that appear to be lining up with Scripture. The first thing I talked about was the Temple Mount. And how God has opened the door for Israel to come back into the land, how they've taken Jerusalem, how they are now preparing to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount. And we believe, according to Scripture, that that is necessary for end-time events to take place. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation and in Daniel, when Jesus mentioned it, that the abomination of desolation will be set up in the holy place, and proclaim the Antichrist, the evil one, will proclaim himself as God. So we believe that that's a very important part of these end time events. Could we be wrong about some of this? Absolutely. Because some of it we're just trying to understand it based on our limited knowledge of what God is going to do, what God wants to do. But it appears that the things are beginning to fall in place. And as I mentioned in that message in regards to the Temple Mount, how it really seems like everything is coming together. The Jewish people, the Orthodox Jews, are putting all these things in place right now to be able to worship in the temple. They have created the utensils that are necessary. They are training priests. They are preparing for sacrifice. They are, one thing that I didn't mention is the Temple Institute says that they have the ashes of a red heifer, which is necessary for them to be able to consecrate the temple in order to start daily sacrifice. So that's a really important aspect of all of this. I wish I hadn't left that out. I should have put that in that message. But all these things are coming together, and it seems like we are living in the last days. Now, I grew up in church. I've heard that all my life. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. Well, you know, considering that the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, believed that they were living in the last days, I guess we've always been living in the last days since Jesus came and died on the cross. But we're getting down to the end of the end. And some of the things that are happening right now, it's really important for us to see what God is doing and try to understand that the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fall into place. I've got some scripture that I want to read to you this morning. Revelation chapter 13, if you want to turn there. Beginning with verse 1, and we'll read through 8. Then I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right, turn over to chapter 17. Beginning with verse 7. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is, and yet it was and is not, and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. There are 7 kings. 5 have fallen. 1 is, and another has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not, is himself also the 8th, and is of the 7, and is going into perdition. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." Okay. As we look at this, we can see it's talking about a government that is being referred to as a beast, and it's also referring to an individual that we believe will be referred to, or the scripture is referring to the beast. The beast has many names: the son of perdition, the man of sin, the antichrist, the desolator, and the beast. There may be other names in the scripture. I don't have them off the top of my head. But these particular names are descriptions of an individual that's going to rise up in the end times as a world leader. What we believe it will be a world dictator. And he will cause all people, great and small, free and bond, the scripture says, to take a mark. And that mark they will have in order to buy and sell, to be involved with the economic system of the world. All right. So there's a person, but there's also a government. And that's kind of what we're going to be dealing with this morning, is one world government. because we've heard this for many, many years. We have all been taught this. If you've been in church, you've probably heard a lot about a one world government eventually that the beast or the Antichrist will rule over. If you haven't been in church and you're just learning some of these things, you're probably very familiar because it's been publicized that LaHaye's books about the end time, that, you know, even non-Christians, not people who have not been involved with church on a regular basis, have read these books. So, you know, there's some familiarity with some of the things that I'm going to be talking about this morning. I'm sharing with you. But most important, I want you to understand that there is going to be, according to the scripture, a one world government. Now, according to the UN, right now in the world, there are 195 sovereign states or sovereign nations in the world. According to what we are reading, and we're going to go over to Daniel in just a moment, there's going to be 10 nations in the world. So how in the world could that happen? How can we have 195 nations, and yet there's going to be 10 nations that this Antichrist is going to rule over in the end time, and it says the whole world? Well, what I want to show you this morning is that we're closer to this than we realize. This is happening right now and has been for many years. It's been in the works. There's been a group of people throughout time that have had a desire to establish a world government. And a world government is not man's idea. A world government is Satan's idea. Satan's desire has always been, he did from the very beginning, from early on in man's history, the Tower of Babel was an attempt for a world government. God came in and squelched it, confused their languages, sent them all over the world. Gentile nations that have ruled the world has always been Satan's desire to intervene in that. Babylon, Persia, Greece, the Roman Empire. Even in modern days, the Germany, Italy. You know, we've had all kinds of world people who have had desires for world government. But God has always moved into that situation with his people and squelched the plans of the enemy. Even in Babylon, he sent Daniel and his friends there to tell the Babylonians about the living God. God had a plan and God still has a plan. But here's what we need to understand. It's sort of like, well, let me say this. In the end time, God is going to give Satan his little bit of time, his 15 minutes of fame. He's going to let him have. You know, you've all heard, I know we've all heard these people who do crazy things just to get the attention maybe of the media. Maybe they'll do something illegal. Maybe even take some people's lives. And their whole desire is to just be seen for 15 minutes on national television or worldwide television. They get their 15 minutes of fame. That's kind of what I feel like Satan must have this same mentality. Because he knows that he's going to be defeated. He knows he can't beat Almighty God. How many times do you have to be defeated before you come to the realization that you're a defeated foe? And yet the enemy knows that he's going to be cast into hell. So what he wants to do is take as many people with him as possible. So this last attempt is his 15 minutes of fame in the world. And he is rapidly bringing this to pass in our world today. Let's read Daniel, because I have a couple of things I want to share with you about this. I need to keep this watch before me so I don't get too carried away this morning. I have lots of things I'd like to share with you. But I know I can only do so much. All right, Daniel 7. Okay. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23 through 25. Short reading here. Now, Daniel's seen a vision of a beast as well. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. He's talking about a world government that is going to devour the whole earth. We can see that that's what he's talking about. He's saying that it's going to take the whole earth. It's going to devour the whole earth and trample it and break it in pieces. There's going to be war and conquest. The ten horns are ten kings who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. Okay, now first of all, I want you to try to understand what it's saying here. First of all, it says there's going to be a world government established. How many have heard lately about a world government being established? There's lots of talk about a world government being established. In fact, Kathy, you put up the scripture or those headlines of the Pope. Even the Pope of Rome is calling for global political authority, a one world power, one world government. There's been much talk about that. Okay, so going to be a kingdom. Then there's going to be 10 kings that rise up, or authorities, people who are given authority over 10 parts of this world government. And then eventually, here, this is really important that we catch this concept, because in my mind, as I listen to Bible scholars and Bible teachers about end times, I came to the conclusion that the Antichrist was going to come, the conquest was going to be by the Antichrist, and he was going to take the world, he was going to set up a world government, and he was going to gather these 10 kings together. That's not what Daniel's telling us here. He's saying the government's going to be in place. The 10 kings are going to be in place. And then comes the evil one, the Antichrist. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. Everything's going to be in place. This is extremely important as we continue through this study, that we realize that the world government is going to be there. The world individual kingdoms are going to be there. The Antichrist is just going to step in to that government that has been established and take control. Have you ever heard this before? Somewhat? In this particular vein, have you heard people teaching it? Because I haven't heard very many people teaching it this way. Okay? And he shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law, and the saints shall be given into his hands for a time, times and half a time, 3.5 years again. That theme will continue to come up in this as you read about the end times. There's a 3.5 year period at the end of time. Now, we also know or believe that there is a 7 year period of time. Just prior to the 3.5 years, there's some sort of a covenant that is going to be established. Antichrist is going to be involved with that as well. We believe. We don't know for sure, but we think so. And in that covenant, there's going to be an agreement with Israel and many. And then at the 3.5 year period, that's going to be broken, and he's going to set in the temple, the rebuilt temple, and proclaim himself as God. All right. So here's what we're looking at. Is the first thing that we need to understand is that there is a world government that is going to be established. It's coming. It's being worked on right now. In fact, in 1991, George H. Bush, talked about the New World Order in a live speech before Congress. Kathy, can you play that clip?
Halfway around the world, we are engaged in a great struggle in the skies and on the seas and sands. We know why we're there. We are Americans, part of something larger than ourselves. For two centuries, we've done the hard work of freedom, and tonight, we lead the world in facing down a threat to decency and humanity. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future.
George Bush is setting the stage right there for the new world order to take place. He is speaking not only to our nation, but he's speaking to the world about the intent of not the United States, but the United Nations. If you remember, before we went to battle, we had to have the agreement of the United Nations. The United Nations is an international organization that was founded after World War II, 1945. It is currently has 193 members in the United Nations. Their mission can be found. You can go online and find the mission of the United Nations. They have several articles, but article number one has four paragraphs, I believe, and I just kind of boiled them down so that you would understand what the original intent of the United Nations is all about. Promote and encourage peace among the nations of the world and encourage equal rights for all people. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? To cultivate relations among the nations, to work together in solving international problems of an economic, social, cultural, and humanitarian character. That would be wonderful if that's all the United Nations was all about. But I can tell you, if you will look around and you will just watch the events that are taking place and the things that the United Nations are encouraging and promoting, they're more about a world government than they are about just encouraging nations. In 1992, the UN formed a commission on global governance. What? Think about this. Global governance. A government for the whole globe. They twist the words and the meanings of things, but the reality is they're talking about a global, worldwide government. The commission that they established produced a report entitled Our Global Neighborhood. Now, the people who read this, I got to say I haven't read it, but I trust some people that I have read reports and things that they've said about it, written books. The people who read this, who love freedom, were up in arms about it, you know, because they said that it does a couple things. If it's enacted, it is recommended to abolish national sovereignty and suppress the freedom of individuals. The report specifically denied that it was talking about a global government, but it kept using the term global governance. Now, let me ask you something. Just, you know, we're just logical people here. If you're going to have global governance, how are you going to do it without a global government? It just makes sense. And anybody who has any thoughts about this recognize where this whole thing is headed. That we are headed in a direction of a one world government. Lord Christopher Mauchton was a former science advisor to British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. He speaks out against the global warming things that the United Nations is talking about. He says that the climate treaty that is proposed by the United Nations is not about climate, but it's about control. He said this, listen closely to what he said. I read that treaty, and what it says is this, that a world government is going to be created. The word government actually appears as the first of the three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is, listen to what he said, is the transfer of wealth from the countries of the West to third world countries. We're seeing these things take place right now. What happened to all of our jobs, factories, and industry? They've been taken out of our country into another country for the purpose of transferring wealth. And the third purpose of the new entity is to establish the power of the world government, enforcement. Now, I know a lot of people support the United Nations because it's a peacekeeping effort, but hardly anyone knows that they have specific land use policies that they would like to see implemented for every nation, every community, every state in the United States, every state, every community, every area of the world. And now they have a new plan, a specific plan, called Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. This plan is a lot more insidious than the first two, the 1992 and 99. If it's accepted, it will restrict individual land ownership and human rights. Now, I'm telling you these things because I want you to recognize about that things are happening right now in our world. And if we are aware of what's going on, guess what? We can pray about it. We can stand against it. We can accept, we can be that voice that Daniel was and his friends were in Babylon. We can cry out, God is still on the throne. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In a nutshell, this plan says that governments need to control all land. They believe that individuals are poor stewards of the land. Therefore, it's necessary for governments to take control of the land. They believe that more people should be rounded up and put in urban areas where they're close to employment centers. And all this land will be set aside in another project, Wildlands Project. The land will be set aside for non-human use. I want you to think about this a little bit. Why, you know, I often wondered, why are they introducing some of the animals in our area that they are? Coyotes? Why would you do that? Because we know what coyotes do. They were pretty much wiped out in the first place because they're predators and they prey on people's animals. There's all kinds of things like that being done in our society right now. There doesn't make any sense, but when you look at it from a global perspective and the plans of the UN, you begin to realize the light comes on. Wow, that's what they're up to. They have a plan. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself, this is all a bunch of nonsense. Well, hold on. Listen to what I have to say. Because there's lots of proof. This UN agenda cites the influence of America as being a major problem that needs to be corrected. It calls for lowering the standard of the United States of America and redistributing wealth. It's crazy, isn't it? The UN has many arms all over the world. There's different elite organizations. The Club of Rome, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, Trilateral Commission, and other elite organizations that have been issued different responsibilities. Now, a few years ago, if you'd have talked about these organizations, people would have said, oh, that's just crazy talk. There's no such organizations. But today, they're out in the open. Everybody knows about the Trilateral Organization, Trilateral Commission. Everybody knows about the Club of Rome. In fact, they have a website. You can go to the Club of Rome and read about the Club of Rome and their desires. The Club of Rome was founded in 1966-68 as an informal association of independent leading personalities from politics, business, and science, men and women who are long-term thinkers interested in contributing to the world and society. One of the founders of the Club of Rome is David Rockefeller. David Rockefeller believes in the principles of the Club of Rome, and David Rockefeller is not, the Club of Rome is not the only organization that he's a part of. He is very much a part of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and all these organizations because he does believe in a one-world governmental system. Let me read to you what David Rockefeller himself says in his book, his memoirs. For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents such as my encounter with Castro to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we yield over the American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. Now listen to what he says. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. He said that himself. He's been working behind the scenes for a long, long time to bring these things to pass. I have a little video that was recorded in one of his meetings. It actually wasn't supposed to get out, but someone felt like it was necessary, or maybe they even wanted it to get out. Who knows? But Kathy, if you'll play that recording, because I want you to see some of the conspiracy behind all this. You have that one? Okay. All right, that's all right. We'll just move on. The Club of Rome has been charged by the United Nations with the task of overseeing the reorganization and unification of the entire world. September the 17th, 1973, the Club of Rome issued a report called Reorganized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. If you doubt any of this, you can go and read this stuff for yourself. It's online. In this report, The club recommended that the world should be divided into 10 economic regions. All right. You heard what I said to begin with. I just wanted to make sure that you understood what the Bible says is going to happen. A world government and 10 kingdoms in that world government. Now the Club of Rome is suggesting 10 economic regions. Do you have that clip, Kathy? You can show that, that map. Okay. That is the one for the United Nations. Club of Rome suggested a little different situation, but that's okay. Just leave that one up there. The Club of Rome suggested 10. There you go. That's the one for the Club of Rome. Okay, now this is what there's 10 regions that they established that they believed, or they were making this suggestion to the United Nations. Go to the next one, because the next one shows how the United Nations has adapted that right now to the regions that they're working in. No, the first one that you had up there. That's not it. That's all right. The first one that she had up there was the United Nations. There, that one right there. That's how they have divided these groupings today. Well, early on. Today, that map has evolved into something a lot different. Okay, show the one that has the unions. Is that, there you go. All right, let's look at this just a little bit. As you can see, we focus on the ones that are really important to us, and that is the North American Union, proposed to be in effect in 2015 to 2020. The North American, yeah, thank you. Good deal, thank you. As you can see, North American Union is United States, Mexico, and Canada. If you wonder why our politicians are reluctant to close the borders, it's because of NAFTA. It's because of the North American Union Agreement. I know that it's saying in 2015, 2020, but for all intents and purposes, this agreement has already taken place. In fact, our President George Bush signed it into law. He made an agreement with Canada and Mexico to create a North American Union. Now, all the unions that they're desiring to establish are not up there at this time. But I want you to see what is taking place. This South American Union, 2004 was established. European Union, all of them are based on this European Union. 1962. Look at this African Union, 2002. All these things have been put into place. They're not all enacted into law yet, but it's all coming together. Look at this. An Islamic Union. Why do you think things are happening in those Islamic nations right now? They're actually opening the door for ISIS to come in and take over nations. For an Islamic Union to be established. All 10 are not up there, but as things continue to be created according to their plan, you will see more and more unions established. Now, let's talk a little about about the North American Union. Is there really such a thing being proposed? Yes, absolutely there is. And according to a gentleman by the name of Gary Call, a book that he wrote, En Route to Global Occupation, the United Nations and the Club of Rome actually refer to these nations or these unions as 10 kingdoms. Imagine that, lining right up with the Word of God. Isn't that incredible? Larry P. McDonald was a United States House of Representatives member for many years. And he was a very outspoken opponent to the Rockefellers and the UN and the movement that was taking place in our world. He actually debated people like David Rockefeller. He stood against and he spoke out against it. He spoke out against them and said that they have a plan. Here's what he said. The drive of the Rockefellers. Now, the reason that he knows this is because he was an insider. He was a part of the government, and he began to realize what was going on, and he stood up against it. He was a Democrat who believed that freedom is more important than the political movement of the day. The drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government, combining super capitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. Do I mean conspiracy? Yes, I do. I am convinced there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent. Larry was a very outspoken opponent to these things, and possibly cost him his life because of it. He was a passenger on board Korean Airlines Flight 007 when it was shot down over the Soviet Union or by the Soviets, which they said it was a mistake. Lots of people believe that he was actually assassinated because of his stance. If you don't believe what outspoken opponents have said, listen to some who agree with this New World Order. Dr. Robert Mueller, he was the Assistant Secretary General of the UN. This is his statement. One of the primary thrusts of our global neighborhood was the formation of regional blocks of unions to enhance political, economic environments. Blocks of unions, just like we saw on the map. Economic and environmental security. The report proposed the regional neighborhoods be established, molded closely on a successful example of the European Union. Recent years have seen a large number of such regional unions emerging or being strengthened, including the African Union, the Mediterranean Neighborhood Partnership, the Gulf States Coalition, and the proposed North American Union. The report also recommended a gradual reduction in the sovereignty of independent states, taking away the sovereignty of independent nations, so that we are much more dependent on the United Nations, binding global agreements and significantly enhancing the legal authority of the UN. This was a Secretary General of the UN. People, this stuff is happening. I want you to know it's taking place right now. Professor of History Carol Quigley, Georgetown University, he wrote a book, Tragedy and Hope. He is in favor of all this world government. The only thing that he doesn't agree with, the reason he wrote this book, is that they're keeping it secret and not telling people about it. So he wrote a book so people would know. This is what he said in his book. The Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller, honorary chairman, is the American branch of a society which originated in England. Believes national boundaries should be obliterated and one world rule established. All right. You heard what these people have said. But I believe it's being enforced right here in our nation without Congress consent and without the consent of the people. few years ago, while George Bush was still president, he signed an agreement with Mexico and Canada called the North American Union Agreement. Play that clip by Lou Dobbs.
The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it, and he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States. Bill Tucker reports.
As far as I know, Lou Dobbs was the only gentleman in the media that had the guts to share this with the American people. I didn't see it from anybody else. Not only did that happen, but also our present president is pushing this matter. Play that clip also. Lou Dobbs talks about that.
Well, another announcement today by President-elect Obama giving new life to the North American Union, a plan by business and political elites to tear down the trade barriers among the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and to create a NAFTA superhighway, all of which to be done without the approval of Congress or the American people. President.
All right. I don't want, you know, there's a lot more to that, but I just wanted you to see. First of all, I want you to understand something. Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. Whether you're independent, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, people, you know, always hear, you know, if you vote for an independent, you're wasting your vote. Well, maybe. But I can tell you this, if you vote for a Republican or a Democrat, you're voting for the same party. They may have a few different ideas and plans, but overall, they are all part of this movement to create a one world government. Am I opposed to our presidents and their positions that I agree with? Absolutely not. I think it's very important that we pray for and support our leaders. But listen, there's an agenda out there that's bigger than an individual and a president. That agenda is to bring about a world government. Now, why do I want to share all this with you? I want you to know something. This is the finest hour for the church. Those who do know their God will be strong and do exploits. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. See, He's seeking someone that will trust Him and He can work on their behalf. Our God, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Today we need to recognize that we have been called in this time to stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Because before long, there is going to be darkness all over the world. And people are not, they're going to take that mark in their forehead or on their hand. And it's going to be too late when they do that. I can't tell you, you know, I do believe that Thessalonians says that there's going to be a catching away. I can't tell you when that's going to take place. There are good people, good Bible scholars all over the world, particularly here in the United States, that have different positions on the rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. They're all God. Many of them are God-fearing people. If you're not careful, you should try to listen to all of them, your head will just start spinning around, around, around. It's crazy. But they all believe that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're all trying to discern what the Scripture says about these things. So I really try to just stay away from the rapture position. I believe in the pan theory. It's all going to pan out in the end. God is in control. He's going to take care of His own. He loves His people. And He'll be with us. The reason I'm sharing this with you is I don't want you to be an ostrich with your head in the sand. And these things just happen. All of a sudden, it's going to come up on you. Much of the church today, all of a sudden, these things are going to come up on them, and they're going to be caught off guard. Because they're not being told what's really going on, where we're headed, and what's going to happen. But let me tell you something. Our God is an awesome God. I'd rather be in the worst storm of this world with God than in the most pleasant situation without Him. When He's on your side, you can't fail. Thousands are going to fall at your right side, 10,000 at your left. But He will sustain you through it all. This is not a scare tactic. This is a victory call to the church. I want you to recognize we are in the right place at the right time. God has called His people to be a shining light to this world. And to all the things that are taking place in this world, we can speak up and say, yeah, we know that's going to happen. But God is still on the throne. God is still directing. God is still powerful than the enemy. Yes, Satan has his man somewhere out there just waiting to take his place. But God has His men and women already in place. Amen? And just one faithful believer is more powerful than 10,000 of the enemy. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just praise You and thank You. As we go through this study, that we will realize who You are. We will put our trust in You, and we will know that You absolutely are in control of everything. Lord, I've seen You work in so many situations, so many circumstances that appear to be hopeless in this church and in individual lives, but You show up, Father, when Your people call on You. We're calling on You right now, Father God, that You will give us strength, that You will give us power, that You will give us boldness to go forth, to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. The people will not be caught off guard. The enemy will not have control. That God's people will rise up. There will be revival in the land, Father. Because You are in control and You desire Your people. If we would just call out to You, and we do, we humble ourselves before You, Father. We know that we have done wrong. But we come back to You, Father. We plead on behalf of our families. We plead on behalf of our community. We plead on behalf of our state and our nation, Lord. That Your will be done in individual lives. And when it is, the nation will take notice. And there will be power released in this place, Father. We just thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer warriors, if you'd come up, anyone who would like to have prayer, if you'd like to have healing prayer, I'll be up here to pray for you. Praise God. Otherwise, you are dismissed.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.